Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Today, I will begin with an introduction to this new series on the book of Revelation. The title of our message is Revelation, the Unveiling. Beginning with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, I just spoke to you about the blessing, but I want to read it to you so that you can see that God blesses all those who will read the book and study the book and obey the book of Revelation. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. And then in verse 7, it says, behold, Christ is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who always was, and who is to come. I am the Almighty. The Almighty means the absolute universal sovereign. This is a time in history that most have lost the fear of the Lord. That's because people don't know him. Therefore, we must confirm biblically who Jesus Christ is. You see, the book of Revelation reveals who Jesus Christ really is. He is described in Scripture as both the Lamb and the Lion. Jesus may be described as a paradox. A paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement that, when investigated, is proven to still be true. And in the Bible, God portrays Jesus as a sacrificial lamb sent to die in our place. He is the Savior to all who accept and obey him. John 1 and 29 says, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is mentioned as a lamb 29 times in the New Testament. It's talking about his sacrificial death for us, for our salvation. However, in the book of Revelation, Revelation unveils another prophetic side of Jesus's purpose and his character. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is of the lineage of Judah. He will judge and destroy all who disrespect, reject, and oppose him. Jesus will personally open the seals of judgment upon humanity, those that reject him. He is the Lamb, but he's the Lion. Listen to what John wrote. John wrote in Revelation 5 and 3, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to read it. This scroll in heaven actually was speaking about the future judgments that would come to the people and planet earth for rejecting Jesus as Savior. John said, I began to weep bitterly. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals of judgment to be released upon humanity. It's a paradox. Jesus is the Lamb, but Jesus is the Lion. He's still the Lamb today. You still have an opportunity to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He's the Lamb of God who came to save you. But if you reject him, don't forget what it says in Revelation. Don't be fooled. He's a lion too. Some people just see him as a lamb, sweet Jesus. But you need to see him as a lion, a God who will judge you for opposing him. And to reject Jesus will bring judgment upon you, not only in this life, but eternally. And folks, we're living in the last days based upon scripture and our present culture. Listen to what it says. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. We're there. It says they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. People are not discerning enough today to know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of demons. And Christian surveys are sounding the alarm about the departure from the truth of God's word by professing Christians. They're deceived. Listen to a few of those surveys. One said, amazingly, barely half of evangelicals, those who believe in Jesus Christ as personal saving Lord, 55% believe that people are born as sinners and can be rescued from the consequences of that condition by Jesus Christ. That's only 55% of those who are professing Christians. Did you hear that? Then it goes on to say, according to multiple news agencies' headlines, the most popular finding was that 60% of adults under 40 years old say, Jesus isn't the only way to salvation. He's equal to Buddha and Muhammad. Folks, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the only way. He is the only person who can deliver you from your sins, who can save your soul and can take you to heaven. In Acts 4:12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself as a ransom for us all. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's the Lamb. Verse 36, it says, anyone who believes in God's son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But anyone who doesn't obey the son will never experience eternal life, but remains under eternal judgment. That's the Lion. Listen to another survey. This survey says born-again Christians stated less than half claim to believe that Jesus lived a sinless life while on earth. I'm going to read that again. It says another survey by born-again Christians stated less than half believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. The devil is a liar. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for Jesus faced all the same testings we do, yet he remained without sin. Let the church say amen. In Matthew 5 and 21, it responds to something else that survey said. It said that many are now saying that human life is not sacred. I'm talking about born-again Christians. The Bible says you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. You see, the word of God is not being taught as God's absolute literal truth anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Coming up this Sunday at Spirit Life Church, Pastor Steve continues his eye-opening series on the book of Revelation. Here's Pastor Steve to tell us more.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. At our Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., I will be teaching a series on the book of Revelation. I believe we're living in the season for which this book was written. Bible prophecy and current events actually confirm this truth. You see, Jesus Christ will soon return. And the book of Revelation says in Revelation 1 and 7, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the nations of the world will mourn because of him." Now, if you believe the Bible, you must also believe that Jesus Christ will return, as it says. The book of Revelation details the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ and after. This book begins with a promise of blessing, and it's to all those who read, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy. You know, there have been many people who have been afraid to study this book, but it isn't about fear, my friend. It's about faith, understanding, and being ready to meet the Lord when he returns.
Don't miss this powerful word. Make plans now to join us this Sunday as Pastor Steve continues his compelling series on the book of Revelation, The Unveiling. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
A Gallup survey stated, Americans who identify as evangelical or born again are much more likely than others to view that the Bible is literally true. Although even among this group, the percentage believing in a literal Bible is less than 50%. Did you know that? So I am beginning to teach the book of Revelation. This book is a revelation of the truth about Jesus Christ himself. He is Savior, but soon he will be our judge. It is also a disclosure of future events surrounding his second coming. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, once again, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony or the witness of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, to understand the book of Revelation, we must first understand who God and the Bible tell us Jesus is. Because there are so many people today that just have wrong information. They didn't get it from the Bible. See, the book of Revelation says this is a revelation from Jesus Christ. The book is to reveal to us who Jesus Christ really is. God called Jesus his son. How many of you believe that? Matthew chapter 3 and 16, it says, "And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and it alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many of you believe that? Good, because it's in the Bible. In fact, the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was predicted throughout history. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what he said. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And he was born in human form so that he could die for humanity. In Isaiah chapter 7 and 14, it says, the Lord himself will give you this sign. A virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The Bible tells us that an angel visited Joseph, Mary's fiance, in a dream, saying, and this is found in Matthew chapter 1 and 20, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people of their sins. Fulfilled prophecy is evidence that the Bible's origin is from God. There is no other book, there is no other religion that can predict the future. There's a book by J. Barton Payne. It's called The Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy, and it states, the Bible contains 2,000 prophecies, including some 300 prophecies about the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Listen, and there are no prophetic failures in the Bible. God sent an angel to Mary saying that she had been chosen to be the human mother of God's son. Listen to that story in Luke chapter 1 and 31. The angel said to her, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. You may say, well, that's difficult to understand. Well, the incarnation was when divine nature was joined with human nature within Mary. With God, all things are possible. In fact, that's exactly what the angel told Mary. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2 and 6. It says, Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, being just like God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. In fact, just before his suffering on the cross in the garden, he prayed to his father. This is found in John 17 and 5. He said, Father, glorify me in your presence with the same glory I had before the world began. Jesus Christ is eternal. He wasn't just born on this earth. He has always been. Now, I repeat that God confirmed that Jesus was his son. Let me give you another verse in Acts 2 and verse 22. That's an easy one to remember. Acts 2:22. God publicly endorsed Jesus by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him. That's what that verse says. Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. But guess what? He never sinned. It wasn't because of the sins that he did. It was because of our sins. God placed upon him that he died on the cross. Let me give you a verse for that. Isaiah 53 and 6. It says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid upon him the sins of us all. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we might be healed. He was whipped so that we could be healed. The Bible says he had done no wrong. This is verse 9. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. And that's speaking of us, all who accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. We are his descendants. But I'm going to say it again. Jesus rose again. I said, Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again. And he was seen by a host of people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was first seen by Cephas or Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 people at the same time. One day, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and ascended into heaven right in front of them. And as they watched him go up, two angels appeared and said, what are you looking at? The same Jesus that went up is coming back the same way. Acts chapter 1 and 9, I have to read it. After Jesus spoke these words, as they were watching, he was lifted up. He was lifted up. He was lifted up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They continued looking up at the sky. They were shocked. Then two men appeared to them in white clothing, and they said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Jesus, whom you saw taken up from you into heaven, he will come back in the same way that you saw him go.
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the media tab and click on audio messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part one of Revelation, the Unveiling. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
I just want to encourage our listeners today that all is well. Listen, God is in control of every situation. And so it's important for you to understand that prayer changes things, regardless of what our situation may be. If we call on the name of the Lord, he will help us. He will deliver us. He will intervene. And let's believe. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Your love is so abundant toward all of us. And Father, yes, we are concerned. Some people are really afraid of what's going to happen next. We pray for every individual right now who is in some type of distress, whether it be economic or physical, even spiritual. We pray, Lord, that you would reach out your mighty hand and that you would help us. We look to you. Your word says the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers us from all of our troubles. We thank you today for hearing our prayers. Bless this people, and we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.